Here I was, blaming AEW for feeding you chicken shit, knowing you mindless millennials would be eating it up as if it were chicken salad, when it's really been your fault all along.
Make chicken salad out of chicken shit. People is as people does, that's all there is to it. Put a square peg in a round hole, just never seems to fit.
This is Bianca Belair.
Hey, this is Kevin Owens.
Hey, it's Seth freaking Rollins.
It is the man, Becky Lynch.
It's Rhea Ripley here, and you're listening to Wrestle Radio Australia.
Welcome, everyone, to your longest-running Australian wrestling podcast. This is Wrestle Radio Australia. I am your host, Todd Eastman. I am joined today. We aren't joined with Lachlan. Lachlan is he's being assigned left, right, and center everywhere at the moment.
So many assignments.
So it's just me and the host of and brains of and wrestling of WrestleBrainia, Jeff Seti. How are you, mate?
I'm good, mate. All except the last one, but yes. I don't do the graps, but yes, it's great to be here. It's we are without Lachlan, but that should cut the rundown of the show down by about 58 minutes.
Yeah. Yes. I don't want to say anything, but yes.
Yes.
this is Making Chicken Salad, where we talk all about wrestling around the world, mostly here in Australia. And lately we've been reviewing Australian shows left, right, and center because they've been putting them out online for us to watch left, right, and center, which is amazing effort. One thing I do want to say is that I don't know if you saw this, Jeff, but I got a message last night from someone at EPW telling us that they are actually putting up the showcases now on YouTube for people to watch.
Fantastic.
So that's something that we will be watching and reviewing in the coming months and weeks and all of that sort of jazz, because that's the future of EPW are on those shows. So it'll be a great little insight into what's coming up with the main shows for EPW as well as the EPW shows. Also, I want to add to if there's a promotion around a country that you want us to watch a show of and review it, hit us up and let us know about it, because at the moment we're going to be reviewing the stuff that we know and the stuff that we can find that's easy for us to find and easy for us to review. So that's sort of the tail of it.
Yeah. And stuff that's easily sourceable.
But,
you know,
also we want to promote it for people to catch up on too.
There's way more than we can just source and we can look at. So it's pretty exciting.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, if you've got your stuff up online, let us know.
Speaking of exciting, tonight the Melbourne International Comedy Festival starts. Go and see shows. More importantly, come and see my show, WrestleBrainia. It's on at the Catfish Hotel in Melbourne the 7th, the 14th, and the 21st of April. Sunday the 7th and 14th both start at 5:30. If you're going to starcast, you can make it. Just come and see the show. And the 21st starts at 7:30. It's the After Renegade show party.
So is Renegade an earlier show? That?
Yeah.
Of course it is. It's like the 4 o'clock show or whatever it is. Pretty much like Wrestle Clash did.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
And MCW have done on Sundays as well, around the same time. So, yeah. Swing by. Have a look. If you catch the 86 tram from the theatre, from the Northcote Theatre, you just drive straight down and you're there.
Well, you don't drive because people might get mad.
Well, the tram driver drives, but you get yourself there. It's easy. It's about 25 minutes. There you go.
They get mad if you push in and say, let me drive. From experience, I know.
They do.
Anyway, moving on. Tonight we are reviewing RCW Super Clash 6. This was the last show of their Fringe Mania 4-pack, I guess you could say. They did 4 shows over the Adelaide Fringe, which is pretty awesome. This was especially challenging, I think you would say, because they did the show the night before at like 11:15. With the kickoff for that show. So it finished at like, say, midnight 12:30. And then they were back there at, I think, it was like 4 o'clock the next afternoon for this show. So it was, yeah, it was a testament to some of the guys that backed up and did the double for this thing.
Mm. Yeah, I think it's an incredible effort and well done. Even to the commentary team, who I think are commentating live. Well done.
Yes. Yes. Actually, they were actually really good, those two. It was different because it wasn't the first show we had the mix of the three, had Brody Marshall, Paul Roberts, and Angus. This one just had Paul and Angus. And Paul and Angus are a really good team together. A nice mix of styles. It was really good.
Yes, WrestleBrania. Andy PWDU has asked, is WrestleBrania upstairs at the Catfish? I'm just wondering about accessibility for friends. Yes, it is upstairs at the Catfish. I can check accessibility tomorrow if you want, Andy, and find out if there's been any changes there. But last time, sadly, they were not an accessible venue. I really like Angus and Paul together. I think they have a nice chemistry. They work well together. They don't talk over each other. And it's really nice.
Yeah. I will say, though, Angus, if you're going to give our podcast a shout-out, just say our name. Don't just say a podcast because it hurts. It hurts.
Yeah. You can say our name, Angus.
You can say our name, Angus. You can say it. It's okay. It's not a mouthful. It started at Riot City Wrestling. There we go. That's where Wrestle Radio Australia started. Anyway, we'll get into the card. Do you want me to do the Lachlan thing where I run down the whole card first, or do you want to go match by match? Okay, on the opener of this show, we had the EPW Coastal title defended in a six-way scramble. Matt Hayter against Aaron Only, Katie Trey, Kaitoa, Mike Boomer, and Redshaw. After that, we had the RCW tag team titles, Party Powers against the Old Guard. Then we had definitely a big meaty men slapping meat match with Grimm taking on Caveman Ugg. After that, we had the Schoolyard Brawl, Down Under, and Mr. Cliff. And the main event, of course, being that grand championship on the line, Delta against the engineer, Chris Basso. Before we get stuck into the roots of the show, the weeds of the show, what did you think of the show overall?
Loved it. Like, how nice is it to watch a show that runs an hour and 13 minutes? Bing, bang, boom, you're done. And it's not – there was only one thing that I thought was superfluous there, and that was the tag title, but I guess that was to hook people in to come back. So, you know, I'm fine with it. You know, in theory, and the reason I say it was superfluous is because it just didn't go long enough.
I'll say that for maybe the first half of the card, I thought was just real quick, like to the point
first
where...
two matches were quite quick. But I liked the six way scramble for the Coastal title because the Coastal title gets defended in short matches anyway. They're only 15-minute matches,
We'll get stuck into that. Of course, the EPW Coastal title was a six-way scramble. Matt Hayter defended the title against Aaron Only, Katie Trey, Kaitoa, Mike Boomer, and Redshaw. Look, for me, I think this is what these matches are like. When you got a six-way scramble, you're not going with psychology a hell of a lot. It was a spot fest. It was a classic get your shit in match, really.
It's a great show. Like having these guys open it. You know, you've got six names there. You've got six people that all have reputations and are good names and you know, they all bought it. They all had fun. It shows you how valued the EPW Coastal title is, not necessarily just in Perth. I really, really liked Katie Trey in this match as well. I mean, I've been a fan of Katie's since I first saw him. But I think that in this match, he really, really lifted. And you know, he and Redshaw provided that nice power dynamic. And I thought that was really lovely. I wish they'd have slowed down a little bit. But obviously, we're not talking about a 2.5-hour show. We're talking about an hour and 13-minute show. In a 2.5-hour show, this would have been given 10, 15 minutes and would have been a much, much more better-paced match. But for what it was great.
Yeah, see, that I think is my only real criticism of this match is that it was just too many people when you've got that little of time, where it was pretty much just shotgun, 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 finish. Yeah. Which is like fine when you're opening a match like that, you're opening the show. it really got the crowd into it. I understand why they did it, but mm-hmm. if here we go for Lachlan, for me,
for you,
if this was for me, I would have really loved to have seen something like Matt Hayter and Kaitoa. Something like that, because it would, like, I understand, because you, Matt and Kay, well, see, not so much Matt, like, the reason I picked Kaitoa is because he's a young guy, he's coming up, he could have done with that, like, just the opening match, but experience working with someone like Matt Hayter, I think he would have benefited a lot of that. It's same with, like, Aaron Only, he probably would have done well in that spot as well. I do understand, though, that they obviously wanted to get as many people on the show as possible, and when you're only running like five matches, you got to, like, sometimes you got to do that sort of stuff. Other than that, like, I really enjoyed the match for what it was. I thought it was it was cool. Like, if you're into that, like, shotgun, like I said, shotgun finish, that was fine. It was fine. And they also progressed the story a bit with Amber and Katie as well. So
yeah,
they got their job done with that, really.
Andy PWDU, our own Bob Vance from Dance Refrigeration Copycat, he says RCW is the best online presence in Australian wrestling. Great production, short shows, really good matches. Couldn't agree more, Andy. Couldn't agree more.
Yeah, especially for the Fringe Festival, especially the Fringe Festival is different from all of their other shows. Like, all of their other shows do run to that 2-hour sort of gimmick. And I guess if they decided to, and God help them if they ever did, because I would really feel sorry for the bookers if they decided to go for a weekly, like, show where it was only an hour, then that would have been, but I would never do that to save money. Like, you could not pay me enough money. Well, you could probably pay me enough money, but I would complain about it a lot if I had to book a show a week. That is, yeah, but, like, but you'd get the hour matches, you get hour shows like this.
Oh yeah. I can understand that perspective of God help you. I mean, the dream is to do WrestleMania weekly, but, you know, that's a lot of work. That's more work than just I can handle, let me tell you.
If you did do that, how many episodes do you reckon you would get in a season of that? It'd only be a short run, surely, like an 8-episode season or a 13-episode season, surely.
8 or 12. Because you'd be burnt out. It wouldn't be up to me. It would be up to whoever's, you know, got the
person. Whoever's ordering them.
Yeah. You know, Netflix call us up and go, hey, I've heard about you. We want to do your show. Then I go, well, what's the offer? Like, but Netflix would probably accept 8 episodes or 12 episodes. Like, they'd be fine with that.
Because
it's true. Binging numbers.
Yeah.
What was our next match, Tony?
Next match was the RCW Tag Team Titles on the line. Party Powers defeating the Old Guard by DQ after, like, Cutthroat came in with the belt and hit one of the. It was really, like, it was a really quick match when nothing really got done. I mean, they maybe, like. I know that there was issues with Party Guy Ty, who is the third member of Party Power, wasn't cleared to wrestle. So maybe that affected the time constraints of the match. I don't know.
I think they could have wrestled for about another 2 minutes and built the DQ a bit more. They just seemed to go, ring the bell, hit him with the bell, ring the bell. You know, I'm exaggerating slightly. But it could have been just a touch longer. We don't know. RCW also might have had some time pulled at the other end. Like, they might have been told to bring it home earlier than they initially expected, which can happen at festivals. Like, it can legitimately happen.
That's true. But with the match, I just don't think that they got, like, especially I don't think Dean Brady was in that much trouble that Cutthroat had to grab the belt and do that. You know what I mean? They didn't work themselves up to a point where, like, oh shit, I'm going to lose this match if we don't use this belt, sort of thing.
No, there was sadly very little suspense in that, and that's kind of what I'm saying. I think more suspense would have been absolutely wonderful. Tim Wilkes, thank you, Tim. Stan would buy my show. If you know anyone at Stan, get him in touch with me.
Yeah, hook us up.
But yeah, look, for what they did, what was there was great. I wanted to see more of it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly right. And then
what do you feed them down in South Australia? Violet looks great too. I was sitting there going, Delta, Rhea, Violet? Good God.
Do you know what it is though? And I'll say this, this is a thing that we talk about a lot with do you remember months ago we talked about MCW where a lot of people in the chat were complaining that there weren't enough women's wrestling on those shows. And yeah. My main argument was, well, like, maybe there weren't girls that were ready, that they deemed were ready enough.
Yeah, I remember
that. That is something that I know that MCW do and Riot City Wrestling do that as well. They won't debut someone until they are cherry ripe.
Yeah.
They're ready to go. They won't just do it and go, oh, we'll cover them with some gaga. That'll be fine. They make sure all these people have their fundamentals down and can work their boots off before they're put in that ring. And that's why, like, these shows are as good as they are. That's why that when people debut, they debut well and they look good coming out of the shoot.
Mm. Yeah, I think Violet had a presence about her. She's got a long way to go, but she's got the it factor that Delta does and Rhea does and, that same kind of aura.
Yes, but that's just like they've got Delta, they've got Mickey, they've got a strong presence of like good young women's wrestling, which makes it almost a shame. I know that they're doing the whole the grand championship, but it sort of makes it a shame that they don't have that RCW women's title at the moment where they could really showcase those girls. But like, if they're going to do this thing where they work it into being more of an intergender sort of promotion, so be it. Mm. That's fine too.
Yeah.
I just got distracted by a chat. Andy PWD U says, I'm sure you'll preview MCW later. They've gone back to no women's matches this Saturday, despite an incredible Asia. That's because, well, I mean, I'm supposed
you need Delta's to, on the you show. You need to rest Aisha and Erica for the time being. You need to take them away from the audience so people can miss them. The problem now then becomes who else, you know.
Yeah.
Carly is very, very much a renegades wrestler. Chanel is very much a renegades wrestler. That's part of the thing about being in a town with two distinct, very, very, very strong brands that, you know, don't always work together, that, you know, sharing a talent may not be possible. I don't know.
Also, you don't know, maybe whoever's like in charge of booking, they're just like, oh, I just don't think that they're quite ready. Like, and you could throw somebody in with Erica, and that would be fine as well, but then you're just throwing someone into there to throw someone in there.
Yeah, I would prefer that if we get a women's match, it actually means something and there's stakes rather than just putting Erica against anyone. I'd prefer, in answer to Andy's comment, who said, I thought this week could have been Erica versus anyone just to keep her in front of the crowd ahead of a title match. While I partly agree with you, there needs to be a reason. There needs to be a reason. It can't just be, let's wheel Erica out for another appearance.
Yeah. Also, there are six matches. So who knows? There might be another match signed, another match that comes on. We don't know yet. So.
Yeah. So, what was the next match, Tom?
Yeah, after that was the match which, in my opinion, was probably the match of the show. That was Grimm defeating Caveman Ugg in 10 minutes and 20 seconds of big meaty men bumping meat. I love this match. I don't know what you think, Jeff. What was your opinion on this?
I had so much fun watching this one. And this is where I really have to compliment the commentary team, because they definitely sold the chop. They were doing a great job saying how heavy and hard they were laying in the chops. The two of them just had chemistry up the wazoo. I want to see more of that. I want to see that match again. but let it go for another 10. Let it go for the full 20. Because I get the feeling they definitely both had more in the tank. And it's a hot room, but they definitely both could have gone another 10. But that, again, is the time constraint of the hour and 13 show. I loved this. I thought this was a terrific, terrific match. A lot of fun. And I was happy with the result.
Yes. Like that was possibly one of the hardest chop offs I've ever seen or heard on a show. I love it when you get two workers in the ring like Caveman Egg and shout out to Lachlan and Grimm, who they work super snug and they work believable.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you believe everything they do because they didn't hold back on each other in a safe, controlled way, which is amazing. The only gripe I have of this whole match was the production missed that Caveman Ugg clothesline.
Yes, they did.
Didn't get a good shot of that clothesline, which is unbelievable.
I noticed that to me. I noticed that as well. But to me, his name is Caveman Ugg.
Yeah. It was a really, really good match.
I actually would have trimmed 5 minutes off the next match and given it to Grimm and Ugg.
Fair enough. And the next match was, of course, something that had been brewing over the Fringe Mania. Schoolyard Brawl down under, defeating Mr. Cliff in 10 minutes and 50 seconds. First of all, shout out to Angus for calling the weapons plunder. For someone who's an old school WCW fan like I am, listening to Dusty Rhodes' commentary, calling it, getting it plunder and getting to the pay window. That was just, I love that. I loved it. I love the touch of, it wasn't your normal ring bell. It was a school bell.
Yeah.
At the start of the match and the finish of the match.
That was great.
Absolutely love that, mate. What did you think of the match?
Oh, it was silly fun. Like, it was, and the reason I said take 5 minutes off it is because, and I like both these guys. I think Mr. Cliff is a great character, and he's getting very good in ring. He's getting really good. But I think this was essentially a comedy hardcore match. So it got its point across and stuck around a bit longer. I wish it had just been trimmed that little bit and give the extra time to the match above. But saying that, I had so much fun watching this. I mean, Mr. Cliff is a great heel. He is great at getting the audience riled up. And they both really, really put the work in. Down Under's a great character as well. The mullet, the flannel, you know what you're getting with him when he walks out. I thought this was fun.
Yeah, and it's so funny when you saw when Down Under first debuted and he was very, like, very Wolf Creek.
Yes.
Is what the character was. To see the way that he's evolved the character now to being like a fan favorite and the crowd really loved him is a testament to him. And his work has gotten so crisp and so good. I'm a big, big fan of Down Under. The one thing I would have liked if Savannah somehow had factored into the finish, being that that's what sort of started the feud.
Yeah.
Like, it's the feud started because Mr. Cliff had eliminated Savannah from the Rumble, and they made it a part of the storyline that of course Down Under and Savannah are together in real life, and they've got a child together and stuff like that. So they fed that into the story. So like Down Under was out to avenge his girl and the mother of his child and all of that good wrestling emotion
good
stuff.
Good lady stuff, yeah.
Yeah. So I would have liked if there was some way that like Down Under was in a bit of peril and Savannah had come in to affect a little bit of change. That to me would have been a nice little bookend to the story. Mm. But that's like a flavors of ice cream decision, really. And that's me again being me, I guess, like uber picky, and that's just what I do occasionally, unfortunately. Can't help myself. But I really did enjoy the match. I really did enjoy it. For what it was, for what it being this was the randoms attraction match This is for like people to come in and like see something that they don't normally see every day, like a guy getting a bloody detention slip stapled to their forehead and a bit of weapons. And that was the match. That was the match for that show. Do you know what I mean?
I love the textures. I just thought that was the highlighters all coming out and being used instead of drawing pins. Alex Fireheart says, a bit late, but the first thing that comes to mind that a match involving someone called Down Under having weapons called Plunder feels like a Men at Work reference. Yes, it does. But I think you saying that, Alex, that's just overkill. Thank you. No, that's a brilliant pun.
I know what it was. I'm well aware of what it was.
I was only going to say selling it. It's one of my favorite songs. It's a great song. The acoustic version.
Although, I was going to say the actual Colin Hay version that was on Scrubs.
Yeah,
one of my favorite songs.
Yes. So good. Finally, you do it, Todd. Sorry, I'm still
No. Host away, son.
All right. Finally, the RCW Grand Championship. Delta against Chris Basso, 18 minutes, 28. A lot of schmoz, a lot of silliness, a lot of antics from the old guard. But Delta overcame it all and won. What did you think, Toddy?
Super Cena Delta gets out of it again. That, like, the amount that she is over with every crowd, still every time, like we say it every time we watch one of these matches, we say, I can't believe how over she, we should just accept that she's just fucking over now with everybody because that's the way it is. I thought this match got off to a bit of a shaky start. I don't know if that was a bit of nerves maybe on her part, because I know, and look, I could say stuff like, oh, a bit of nerves on her part, and you guys are probably thinking, I don't know what you mean. She's done MCW, she's done this, she's done that, she's done the EPW. It's different when it's someone like she's working with, like Chris Basso, because Chris is her teacher. Chris is the guy that Chris trainer. And Matt are the head trainer. Exactly. So it's a whole different animal when you're stepping in there, because you just want to do your best for the person that trained you and the person that you respect. And that's why I think there was a bit of a nervous start there.
It's also a fact that no matter who was on the show at between 12 and 1 in the morning, Delta would have been somewhere on that show, whether it's wrestling, whether it's making an appearance. So it can be forgiven a little bit, because there not only was their nerves, there was also probably a shit ton of fatigue involved in that. And I think that, you know, just a little bit of leeway for them. But because, you know, that kind of hesitancy and fatigue can really, really play on your mind. But I thought this was fantastic. I thought, like, there are things you possibly picked up more than me in regards to Delta's nerves, but mm-hmm. I thought this was fun. I you know, when the schmozzing happened, I was like, oh, they're going to go with Basso. Are they? They're going to go with a heel champ beating Delta. But then the ending kind of paid off it nicely. But as soon as Hayter ran out, I was like, oh yeah, he's going to not claim Delta. That's almost certain. Todd? Ah. You see, I don't know if Todd's frozen or I'm frozen, but I'll move on. It was a great, great series of shows. Alex Fireheart said, I didn't catch much of the show due to working full time and now being a bit out of it, but I caught a bit.
Can you hear me? Am I back?
Yeah, you are.
Yes. I don't know what happened then. So I went all Lachlan for a second.
Yeah, Andy PWDU, thank you. I was aware I was on. Alex Fireheart said, I didn't catch much of the show due to working full-time and being a bit out of it, but I caught a bit, and good Lord, you could hear people screaming for Delta. I personally never heard that from anyone else in Australia before. Yeah, I mean, you know, people have been over. They've been incredibly over.
Mm. Do you know what the difference is, though? Back when, say, like Demi was breaking out,
yeah,
the world wasn't, the wrestling world anyway, in Australia, wasn't as small as what it is now. Like, yeah. You didn't have, like, Like, Demi didn't really work MCW very much. Demi didn't really work PWA. Demi worked Riot City Wrestling.
Mm.
And that was it. Mm. I think she did a PWWA show that I can remember off the top of my head.
She did one or two MCW shows because I think if I didn't meet her, I saw her. And we, you know, it was before the show and I kind of went, hey. And she went,
yeah. But that you know what I mean? Though? She's not so much of a, like, I say household name, but I say household name for people that watch Australian wrestling.
Yeah.
Whereas Delta's fucking everywhere. Like, she was in EPW. She came back to do, like, the Fringe. She did this Fringe Mania. Then she went back and did last weekend NHPW, the women's tournament over there. She did that last weekend, just gone.
And she's doing MCW this weekend.
She's doing StarCast. Yeah. You know, that back in the day, back when, say, Demi was coming through, that wasn't a thing. People just, we just didn't do that much. So it's definitely, like, what you're saying is right. Like, we probably haven't heard something like that for anyone else in Australia before, because the world wasn't as shrunk before, where everyone knew where she was and everyone knew who she was and all of this sort of stuff. As for this match, because
I also think, just before on that, Todd, I also think that wrestling is changing because we're no longer territorial state to state. So if someone good is here for a weekend, then, you know, everyone sees them. Everybody knows everybody in Australian wrestling now. The territories have been knocked down, largely thanks to the prevalence of streaming services and YouTube that really weren't around as much and weren't being utilized to the same degree when Demi was coming up. Now, of course, if Demi was to come up in this era, not only would she be scuppered up by the WWE as quicker than you can say Delta Rocks, but she would be everywhere.
Yes, she would
be. And even as Demi, as blonde-haired pretty girl Barbie doll Demi, and that's nothing against her, but I like what Demi is now, she would still be everywhere because her talent speaks volumes.
Yeah, exactly. As for this match, because I didn't really get a chance because my internet world went all Albert on us. The time, like you said, there was stuff that I picked up that you mightn't have picked up. Like, I definitely picked up, there was, like, timing was slightly off with the interference stuff with Brady and Cutthroat. I think that has a lot to do with Cutthroat being, like, Cutthroat is very young in the business. Like, he hasn't had a hell of a lot of, like, experience. So that's what I would have chalked that up to. The hater spot, the misdirect with him wearing the old guard shirt and then ripping it off, I liked it. Personally, for me, I would have sort of had, him knock Brady off the apron, knock Cutthroat off the apron, those two come back into the ring and chase him off.
Yeah.
So then all three of them sort of look strong. Like, for me, it was just Hayter beating up the two guys who are the tag team champions to the back.
Yeah.
Which didn't make a lot of, like, wrestling sense for me. I know that was my biggest gripe with that. They definitely put her over strong. Like, she took two Sega Mega Drivers and kicked out, and then, like, hit the spear for the pin. And amazing. The F5. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, spear near fail for F5 pin.
Yeah,
yes. It was a very, very good match. Although I think, and this is just in my opinion, I think Grimm and Delta, that was a better match.
Yes, I agree with you. But again, you kind of go, well, they were the four of them, the old guard, Delta and Chris, were almost certainly on the show the night before. So they were all probably so tired. Because Fringe, I know RCW want to put their best shows forward. So Hayter was probably also on the show the night before, by the way.
Yes.
They want to put their best shows forward, so you're going to have your champions there. You're not going to have, because you want to pick up those casual fans who can come to the shows every month.
Yes, yes. Now, if you want to watch the whole show is online on YouTube, and I'll put the link in the description of the podcast. If you're listening to the podcast version, the link for the full show will be on in the description of this podcast for the Riot City Wrestling Super Clash. Yes, mate.
And hey, look, if you can watch all four shows.
It's four
hours out of your life.
Yeah,
it's four hours out of your life if you watch all four. That's like a third of the time of WrestleMania 33.
So seriously, don't put yourself through Rampage. Watch friggin' don't put yourself through that. Watch this. Watch these shows. Watch one of these shows. Like, it was a really entertaining hour-long show. Like, all four of these shows over this weekend were really good. The key to the city ladder match with Grimm winning that was amazing. I think if I remember rightly, Grimm chokeslammed Kaitoa off the top of the ladder into everyone else, all the other competitors, before he grabbed the key. That was the finish of that match. Unbelievable. If you just want to watch Chris Basso and Delta, I believe they just put up that match as a single on their YouTube channel as well. So if you just want to cut to the chase and watch that match, you can do that as well. But I'll put the full show link for Super Clash 6, in the description of the show. I really loved it. I think I'll be honest with you, behind the scenes, chatting with other people in wrestling around the country, I was a little skeptical about how they were going to sell the tickets over these, like the four weeks or 2 weeks or however long it was, just because it's like so condensed and so close together, and the price they were charging for something that was only going to go for an hour and all that stuff. Man, I will put my hand up right now and say I was completely wrong, because they sold out every one of these mother truckers, and the crowd was absolutely pumped, loud. They were as loud for the midnight shows as they were for the 4 o'clock show. They did a amazing job over that fringe run. And like I said, I will completely admit where I was wrong with it, and I was completely wrong with it. They did an excellent job.
They did. Todd, you were quite correct. Delta versus Chris Basso is on the YouTube channel. Go and check that out. It's 25 minutes. It's 25 minutes out of your life, and you'll see a great match. 7 minutes of build, 18 minutes of good match. Enjoy. Like, this is just world class. And again, if Delta's playing somewhere near you and you've never seen her, run. Go as quickly as you can.
Yeah, they've got the four shows over the week. What was the first one that we reviewed? What was that called? Do you remember?
Jeff's got to bring up YouTube. It wasn't Midnight Massacre. It wasn't Big. Yeah, it was Big Top Beatdown, wasn't it? Yes.
There you go. Yeah, Big Top. You got Big Top Beatdown, Midnight Massacre, and Dead to Rights, and then Super Clash. They're your four shows over the fringe weekend. Go and check them all out. Like, together, they're 4 hours. So if you break it up into two-hour blocks, you'll be absolutely loving life, because there was not a bad show amongst the four of them. Yeah. The only reason we didn't review the four of them, because it would have been a bit much just reviewing RC-Dub after RC-Dub after RC-Dub. So we broke it up with a bit of other stuff in between. Overall, I loved the show. I loved what they've done over this period, and also with the awards that they've been getting during this Fringe Festival for like best show and all of that. That is a testament that what they're doing is working, especially in Adelaide. Cause I know that it's hard. Like Chris Basso and I had that talk when I was over there and I did commentary on one of their shows. We talked about how hard it is, like, just advertising to a local market, and whatever they're doing it right, because they're doing it as a team. They're doing it as the entirety of, you got guys and girls that go out there during the weekends that their shows aren't on. They'll go out into, like, if you're in Adelaide, they'll go out into Rundle Mall in gear, handing out flyers. And that sort of stuff is going to work. That sort of stuff is going to breed familiarity with your crowd, with your fan base, with the general population.
I think it's and it's really, really wonderful, because whatever they're doing it right. Because people are reacting, and they're clearly putting on great products. And as Tim said, everyone needs to stop sleeping on RPW. That's for sure. They're one of the best companies in the country. I would agree. For me, they're equal to EPW and MCW and so on and so forth. So well done. to RCW, because in the last couple of years you've started hitting it out of the park. It's not just the Bassos; it's everyone, top to bottom. That roster is really good.
Mm-hmm. And if you want to hit it out of the park, don't forget to make sure you subscribe to WRA. Did you like that?
Yeah, quite good.
I was working to it. I'm like, which one am I going to use here? There was a couple, but I went with that one. Yeah. Make sure you subscribe to us. We are free, and you can do it on Apple Podcasts, YouTube, Spotify, Stitcher, anywhere. Or not Stitcher anymore, it's dead. But anywhere you get your podcasts from.
Back.
Is it?
Yeah, I think it's back. Let me check.
Well, there you go. If it is back, go and follow us there. Just follow us all of those places. Like I said, YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, if it's around, Twitch, we're everywhere. Please do follow us. If you want to follow us on our socials on Twitter and Instagram, or X and Instagram, it's WrestleRadioAU. Wrestle Radio Australia merch is up on Redbubble, and everything that you buy and stuff like that, the profits don't go to us. They go to Gotcha for Life and other mental health charities that we really do support here at Wrestle Radio Australia. Yes, Jeff.
Stitcher is, in fact, dead. You're quite correct. It's deader than Vince's chance of getting a job again.
Well, we don't need one, unfortunately. The motherfucker's rich as shit. Look, guys, we're going to take a break for about 2 minutes. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the rest of the stuff going on. You've got StarCast, we've got MCW, we've got WrestleBrania, we've got
WrestleMania,
Renegade, we've got WrestleMania, we've got everything. So we're going to take a 2 minute break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about all of that stuff right here on Wrestle Radio Australia.
Hey, it's Conrad Thompson. Listen up. Ballarat, Australia, StarCast is going down under. We're coming to you April 11th through April 14th. Thanks to our main sponsor, Visit Victoria, and my buddy Cam Val over at Oceana Pro Wrestling. We've put together four incredible days. There really is something for everybody. Now, if you've never been to a StarCast before, I want to explain, this is like a wrestling fan's dream. You get meet and greets with some of your favorite wrestlers, some of your favorite superstars, some of your favorite Hall of Famers. Not just that, you also get to pick their brain. We're going to have them on stage doing panel discussions and stage shows, and there's going to be some Q&A in there. And man, I have never been on stage with Bret the Hitman Hart. I cannot wait to pick his brain about that WrestleMania 10 match with Owen and so much more. Eric Bischoff. And there's also some wrestling shows. That's right. We've got Mickie James doing an all-lady show, and Bret Hart brings the Australian Stampede to life. You don't want to miss it. If you grab yourself a platinum or gold bracelet, you get all access to all events. You won't miss it at all. Now, if you can't make it to all 4 days, we do have day passes available, but I strongly encourage you, pick up a bracelet. We're going to have unique experiences you can't find anywhere else. Yeah, I'm bringing some of my ring-used championships with me. The actual big gold belt from WCW. The same one that Dusty and Ric Flair and even Hulk Hogan played air guitar with. Goldberg's belt. It'll all be there. Not only that, Randy Savage's Intercontinental. What about the world title from WrestleMania 17 that The Rock and Stone Cold battled for? It's all going to be in Ballarat, Australia as a part of StarCast Down Under. Grab your bracelets right now. Whether it's platinum or gold, you can't go wrong. But you don't want to miss anything. Don't come to 1 day. Don't come to 2 days. Come to all 4 days. Lock it down right now before it's too late at StarCast.com. We have only just begun announcing legends, and you don't want to miss what's coming your way. That's StarCast.com, StarCast.com. We'll see you soon, Ballarat, April 11th through April 14th. Thanks to our friends at Visit Victoria. Grab those bracelets now, StarCast.com.
For the first time ever, StarCast goes international. Oceania Pro Wrestling presents StarCast Down Under, set to take Ballarat, Victoria by storm from April 11th through to April 14th, bringing the StarCast experience to Australia. And with all the staples of StarCast that has made it a wrestling fan's dream destination, meet and greets with your favorite wrestling stars of yesterday and today, live stage shows including a Sunday with Bret Hart, a retrospective on his Hall of Fame career, including a special watch-along celebration of the 30th anniversary of the Hitman's legendary WrestleMania 10 match against his brother Owen. Also including an audience Q&A with the excellence of execution. We'll also have live wrestling shows, in-ring action, including Mickie James's all-women's show, Her, and a special supercard Bret Hart's Australian Stampede. All this along with the photo ops, autographs, merch, and memorabilia, making Ballarat the place to be this April. Never before has a weekend like this taken place in Australia until now. StarCast Down Under, presented by Oceania Pro Wrestling. Tickets are available now. Visit StarCast.com for more information.
Oh, we've got no one to make fun of now with the clap.
Oh, okay.
This is not fun.
3, 2, 1.
Oh, welcome, you motherfucker. You got me. Son of a bitch. I thought we were going to do it just to annoy Lachlan, because you know he's going to watch this.
That was classy. That was great.
Son of a bitch.
Okay. 3, 2, 1.
Okay, go. Just go. I'm over it now. You hurt my feelings. I feel like Charlie Brown. He moves the football.
We're talking about some news around the world of wrestling and goofing off a lot. Dad's out, so Todd and I have become juvenile children. Lachlan, come back. We miss you.
Let's talk about stuff around, like, we'll talk about AWWE because it's going to be a quick one because it's not a hell of a lot of news. Nobody's done anything really stupid, which is amazing. I'm color me shocked.
It's kind of nice.
Yes. WWE announced this week that a new show will premiere next week. WWE Next Gen is scheduled to premiere on the Roku channel on April the 1st. It's a docu-series that will focus on up-and-coming prospects and WWE recruits. John Cena is listed as an executive producer and is seen talking to recruits in a trailer for this show released on Monday. If it's anything like the old one that they did, I think it was called Breaking Ground.
Yeah,
it was back in the day. Yeah. I really hope it's like, because when I saw that, because I saw the trailer to this the other day, and I really hope that that's like this, because if it is, it's going to be a really good, really interesting doco.
I think there are two things. One is I saw some photographs of Cena's meeting with the recruits, and he was just doing this for about half an hour.
I don't know why I fucking.
Yeah. The second thing that it's worth saying is the advantage Breaking Ground or Proving Ground had that this one doesn't is that we knew most of the people in Breaking Ground before it started. So we knew Bailey, Mike Rallis, I can't remember what his gimmick name
was.
WWE.
Yes.
But he was also part of it. So it was people we were familiar with through NXT. This one might have a bit more of a harder battle. It'll probably be similar because that one was great. It might have a bit of a harder battle because we might not know the people.
You know what, though? It also could be, it could work in the reverse where this gets people like introduced to these people before they. Before they debut or before, because you're going to know what their struggles were behind the scenes before they broke in and that give you that little sort of like you're on their side, like we're on their side because like we've seen what they've gone through. I want this guy to succeed.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Corbin was another one who was on there when he was, and he is again now. It's really weird. He's kind of gone full circle.
Yeah, but he's kind of found himself.
I think that he's getting respect pops too. He's been around for long enough now to have the whole, yay, it's Baron.
Yeah.
Baron Corbin, Baz is here. And for me, everyone eventually gets that kind of pop. You froze for a minute there. Andy PWDU says, we'll talk about that kind of thing when we're talking about chicken shit, I think.
Okay.
Because that's more of a chicken shit.
I'll hide.
Tim has asked if there's any update on the Wyatt doco being on Binge. We don't know, Tim. We don't know. We don't get sent media from any streaming services regarding wrestling content.
Yeah.
So someone from streaming services listening, I have two things to say. One, if you want to send us media and information on wrestling things, that'd be great.
I get the WWE emails, but it's just WWE... proper press releases.
Tim, that doesn't mean that it's not going to be on Beach. So please don't.
Don't take that as anything. It could very well be.
The other thing, if there's someone from a streaming service listening, boy, have I got a show for you.
Jesus Christ. Oh, dear.
Go on, mate.
You just completely thrown me there. My Lord.
There's not a lot of WWE news around at the moment if you don't want to talk about Ronda Rousey torching the place to the ground in her
Do you know what the thing is, though? She didn't. If you actually went and looked at some of the stuff, she torched Vince, she torched Laurinaitis, and she torched Bruce. She actually had really good things to say about Triple H, to the point where I wish that my last run would have been with him running it, not Vince. That's not the stuff that they report on because that's not what Dave wants to talk about.
And I'm shocked that Ronda Rousey can read and write. No, I'm joking. I'm joking.
That's what ghostwriters are for, brother. We have got quarter finalists in the AEW World Tag Team Championship Tournament. Quarter finalists are, of course, tomorrow. I think Young Bucks and Private Party have their match. Also, in the same side of the bracket, Undisputed Kingdom are working against Best Friends, which is Orange Cassidy and Trent. On the other side of the bracket, you have Big Bill and Ricky Starks and Top Flight, and FTR take on the Infantry on Collision this weekend. So that's your eight teams left. Young Bucks, Private Party, Undisputed Kingdom, Best Friends, Ricky Starks and Big Bill, Top Flight, FTR and Infantry. Mate, who do you think is going to come out of this with the AEW Tag Championships?
You can ask me who I think the loser is going to be, and it's probably going to be the viewers. And here's why. Realistically, there are only two or three teams that can win. I would like it to be the Undisputed Kingdom, but it's really unlikely to be. And the reason I'd like it to be the Undisputed Kingdom is because they've got to begin to be a threat. They're no threat. They're just a bunch of dudes. I don't want to see the Young Bucks or FTR with the belts, but I think I'm going to. I think that it's going to be one of those two teams, almost certainly. Maybe Ricky Starks and Big Bill, because they were quite over, and they were over as comedy heels more than straight heels, and they were fun.
Do you know the worst part is? If I had any confidence in the fact that Top Flight could stay uninjured for more than 3 months, then they would be a team that I'd look at.
Yeah. But I can't. You can't.
No. Yeah. Not with one. Either one or the other one goes down injured so regularly, unfortunately.
It's such a shame. I mean, I would love to see Young Bucks Top Flight final with the Top Flight going over, but I think it's still going to be FTR against Young Bucks in the final. I really do. It reeks of being the same old same old.
I don't know if you saw or not the argument that Brian Alvarez had with Dave Meltzer about this tournament.
No.
They had a big argument because Brian Alvarez, and rightly so, was just like, why isn't the BCC in this tournament? They beat FTR going to.
Yeah.
And Dave's whole argument were like, well, it doesn't make any sense, but it makes wrestling sense. Because then they can face whoever wins the whole tournament. And they had a very big argument for that over that. About not making sense, but making wrestling sense. No, it doesn't. Just doesn't make sense. When stuff doesn't make sense, it doesn't make sense. Could have Top Alex Flight says, get Alex Farhard said Top Flight get to the finals and lose to Undisputed Kingdom. Do you know what though? I understand where you're coming from for it. It just will never happen because it just doesn't make a heck of a lot of sense. Like the fact is, it
doesn't make Tony Khan sense.
No, I didn't want to say that, but the thing is, right, too, that they had for these wild card matches. The wild card matches were the Don Callis family against the Best Friends, and Best Friends won that. And they had the Infantry against House of Black, and Infantry upset House of Black to go into that. So that was like another established. There were plenty of established tag teams that didn't make it in. Whereas they've got like a makeshift team of best friends, really, because they're a makeshift team. Orange Cassidy and Trent are a makeshift team. Technically, Big Bill and Ricky Starks aren't really a tag team. Sure, they were the tag team champions, but it's not like they don't have a team name. They're Big Bill and Ricky Starks. And like, this might ruffle feathers, but if CM Punk hadn't have ever left AEW, you probably would have seen Ricky Starks with that, like, real world championship. Like, he was on that track with CM Punk.
Probably.
He was one of the biggest. He was one of the biggest losers of CM Punk getting fired, because he was constantly featured on Collision in a high like spot. Well, but yeah, I think
that you're watching a great roster.
Yes.
But a roster that is making the same mistakes WCW did in its dying days. Almost certainly. Because they're stuck with Jericho. Yes, they're giving Takeshita and Ospreay both great profiles. Bruv. It's wonderful to see. Bruv. But the problem is that we're still getting Jericho on top. We've got Omega, who's going to come back eventually. We've got Moxley, we've got Castagnoli, we've got Kingston. These guys are all, if they're not in, they're approaching their 40s really rapidly. Mm. If they're not on the other side. Jericho's certainly on the other side at 50 something. So I think that the problem is that they're not actually looking towards their young talent.
No.
The only young talent who have gotten kind of sniff since it opened, really, are Darby, MJF, Perry, Hook.
Mm. Yeah. And Hook's been very, very protected in the booking.
Oh, Hook looks great because they're booking him so smartly until he gets.
Yeah, they haven't exposed him at all, which is really good. I think that they're going to lose all of their, like, and I know people don't really mind about this, but they'll lose Sammy. Sammy will go because, like, often, like, how much? I think they'll lose Ricky Starks.
I think they're going to lose Ricky. I think WWE are going to go, come here with Ricky.
Yeah, 100%. And that's why we said, like, ages ago, there was that theory that WWE were just sending them their like, older workers.
Yeah.
Because they know that they'll flood that market and the younger guys, well, I'm never going to get up now. You got Adam Copeland here. You got this guy here. I'm never going to break through. I've probably got a better chance going to WWE at the moment.
Yeah.
And so then they'll wrap these young guys up and use them. It's like, the only way I can equate it, like if you're a basketball fan, I equate the AEW roster as having like the 90s Bulls team coached by the Washington Generals coach.
Hmm.
Like you got Hall of Famers left, right, and center, but you've got an absolute coach that does not know how to run them, does not know how to use them.
Here's the only person I can think of that WWE are going, yeah, we missed with him, and that is Swerve. He is the only one I reckon. Yeah. Hunter's going, fuck, why didn't I keep him? Why didn't
It wasn't his choice at the time.
Yeah. Yeah. I think had Hunter been in charge then, Swerve would have been probably, you'd be seeing Swerve going up against Gunther.
Mm. Well, there was that whole story that came out that they think when Hunter had his heart thing and was away, that was when Vince made his way to like get rid of everybody that Hunter was really trying to push,
mm-hmm.
and
I'd heard that.
Places in power and stuff like that, and also guys that he really valued as a way to just go, look, I'm the one that's fucking in charge here, mate, not you.
And that's when, like, that's when Jonah went.
Yeah, yeah. And unfortunately, like WWE, in more ways than one, are just paying for the sins of Vince McMahon, unfortunately. But hopefully that is changing around now with the way that they're the build and all of this sort of stuff going forward with Hunter and the goodwill he's working to get with that roster and the roster moving forward. Also, we have an updated lineup for Supercard of Honor, ROH Supercard of Honor on April the 5th. ROH World Champion Eddie Kingston will be defending against Mark Briscoe. The ROH Women's Champion Athena will be defending against Hikaru Shida, which will be a really good match. And the first ever ROH World television, Women's World Television Champion will be determined between Queen Aminata and Billy Starks. So those are the three matches that if you are one of the couple of thousand people that watch ROH on TV, you will be following that enthusiastically. I'm constantly saddened by what's happened to Ring of Honor. So it is what it is. Let's move into the happy
2019. Thank you, Todd. Let's move on.
Yes. Let's move on to Aussie stuff, and we'll talk a bit more about the shows that we have coming up. Because I guess what the next show coming up would probably be Icons. Yes,
Icons on Saturday at Thornbury Theatre, headlined by Slex against Eman. The Pereira. Oh, sorry, Lockie. I apologize. How dare I? The Pereira against the Icons, probably the team of Adam Brooks. In fact, it will be the team of Adam Brooks and Rocky.
So Adam Brooks and Rocky Monero.
Delta versus Lucky O'Leary. Wear earplugs. The pop's going to be huge. Thorpe versus Dusky, which will be fun. Robbie Thorpe versus is Edward Dusk a face now?
I guess
we'll see what the audience reaction is, because that's very much what MCW go with. Dayman versus Egg. No. Tommy Knight versus Ugg. And Waterman against one of Shadow Alley. That's shaping up to be an excellent card.
Yeah. I hope that it's I can't remember what their names are. So you know who I hope it's gonna be though, that Waterman's up against Shadow Alley. Ryan Rapid, thank you.
It could be Snap or Crackle, but I hope it's Ryan Rapid, whichever one Ryan is. And then, of course, on April 21, we have, I think Robbie's about to be the face via his story with be the face as in a face, Andy, or the face of the company?
A face, I think he's mean.
Speaking of Robbie Thorpe is going to be our guest at WrestleBrainia on the 7th of April. He's going up against Jake Taylor. That's going to be a shit ton of fun. They're both hilarious. If you don't know, they're both very funny people. So come along. Tickets available now from the Comedy Festival website. Renegades of Wrestling, April 21. After that, there's a WrestleBrainia after party. He's not on the card. Have you noticed Cracker Jack's not on the card?
I haven't, because he just shows up where he wants. It's that Legends contract thing.
Yeah, he's showing up where he wants, including at WrestleBrainia on the 21st of April. If you want to see Cracker Jack, he's going to kill
Crackle Jack.
If you want to see Cracker Jack destroy my show for the third time, come and watch him. He's going to be hilarious.
Not to be confused with Crackle Jack, who tastes like pork. Anyway,
we have Egg and Crackle Jack. We have Ugg against Eman. That'll be fantastic. Gino against Lockie Hendricks. That's been building for a long time. Royce Chambers against Sam Yanis. It's Royce returning. It's going to be fantastic. The pop for Royce is going to be amazing. And the really little, Aisha against Charlie Evans against Tali. That's going to be horrible. Charlie Evans being back on.
Jesus Christ.
No, I was being sarcastic.
I know you were, but it's just the way you said it.
That's going to be amazing. I thought I'm
the one that gets canceled on this show, not you.
Thursday the 28th of March. No, that's the next show. Tomorrow night.
That's the next show. Tomorrow night. If you're in Perth.
Dude, Where's My Ring are celebrating their one full year and their anniversary. Happy anniversary to our friends at Dude, Where's My Ring by celebrating as the installers that kick down the doors of Jack Rabbit Slims for Dead on Arrival. Doors at 7. Show starts at 8. Main event is set as the motherfucking bear, Jared Slate, takes on 0-1 heavyweight champion, the Smashing Machine, Chris Weiss, in a death match. Don't figure, and more. There's more than that, surely.
And more. That's yes, Mikey Nichols is in a death match. I can't remember who it's against right now, but I remember seeing that. So it's the first ever death match that Mikey Nichols has been in. So if you want to go and see that, then if you're in Perth, of course, get yourself along to Jackrabbit Slims.
Yeah, definitely. It's going to be great. And good luck to our friends over there. Don't forget Starcast Down Under, Thursday the 11th to the 14th of April at the
Harness. Thank you, Andy. James Harness.
That'll be great.
Yes. Artis
really is a good little worker. Not so little, but he's a great worker.
Stark really down under. Fun tonight, aren't you?
Yeah. 11
Crackle Jack, little eight. Workers.
Remember medicines. 11th to the 14th of April. Money Exchange Ballarat. Platinum, $660. Gold Pass, 110. Single day ticket, 66. Wrestling convention. There'll be vendors for collectibles, figures, sideshows. Also, meet and greets, autographs. You can meet and greet Shelton Benjamin, Gangrel, Tennille Dashwood, Mike Rallis, Vix Crow, formerly Alicia Fox, Lisa Marie Veron, Flamea, the AAA Reina de Reyes champion, SoCal Val, Dalip Singh, who used to be the great Kali, Mance Warner, Steph Delander, Powerhouse Hobbs, Shanky, Bull Nakano, Kushida, Jody Threat, TNA champion Moose, Knockouts champion Gordon Grace, Jordan Grace, and more. Oceana ProWrestling.com or StarCast.com for tickets. Also, remember,
I want you to realize that I was supposed to be hosting this show, and I just slowly handballed it off to you after the break.
You didn't slowly handball it. We got back from the break, and you were like, "You're the fucking host now, son." just announced OVW are back in Ballarat, August 30 to September 1 for Gold Rush. I've got some news coming soon about StarCast. Maybe I'll be there. Who knows?
Maybe so I'll be there. Who knows?
Maybe you will. So there you go. That seems to be what's happening around Melbourne. If there is local wrestling in your town, go to it. Go. Yes.
Get around it.
Get amongst it.
Get around it.
Because it's only you going to shows helps the wrestling community, helps us, helps everybody. One wins, everyone wins. Todd, the name of the show is Chicken Salad. But of course, to make a good salad, you need fertilizer. That's shit. What was your chicken shit this week, mate?
Oh, is it? Thanks, mate. Thanks for that. I honestly haven't thought about what's been shit this week, because there's not been a hell of a lot that I've looked at. I've just gone, well, that's shit. I really, like, for me, there wasn't really much I was overly objected to, if that makes sense. What's gotten on your last nerve, Jeff?
I think that from my end, it's like I really liked Raw on Monday until the final segment, and let me explain what I mean. I think, yeah, there should have been a beatdown. There really should have. They should have done one of two things. They should have turned the mics off outside. And by that, I mean, WWE still pitches itself as a family show. And I know The Rock's above all, but he really got a little bit too far. I don't mind the blood on the belt. I don't mind him involving the roads.
Didn't they beep it out?
They did beep it out. You know, the other thing is it went on too long. It just went on like 2 minutes too long. They should have trimmed that just a little bit. But that's me clutching at a chicken shit straw. There's no other chicken shit in my house except that, you know. That's a very, 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 very small piece of chicken shit. But no complaints otherwise, and that's me searching for it. What was your chicken salad, mate?
Mine is actually a production thing that I watched. I looked at and I went, holy shit, that's fucking amazing. Anyone who saw The Rock's entrance on Raw this week, the way it was shot and the way it was like, brilliant. He just came out of the darkness, like truly like the final boss. Sorry, Jake. Yeah. Final boss. And it was one of those things that made me stop and just go, holy shit, that's some fucking production right there. I absolutely loved it. I think that's the way he should just enter from now on.
Yeah,
that should just be his entrance, because that was fucking breathtaking.
Alex Fireheart says, I maybe had something else, but my chicken shit is Ricky Starks. What the fuck happened? Guy went from feuding with Brian to, all right, he's still here, isn't he? In that fairly short span of time. AEW.
That's, that's Tony Khan's fucking, what's his policy is circulating workers. So workers get time off and then they come back, and it's a lot of time. Like, I understand where he's coming from with his theory of it, but there is also a thing where you have to cash in on momentum. And sometimes the way he does it just cancels someone's momentum. And this is obviously what's happened with Ricky.
Andy PWDU said, if Punk ever pulls that, who calls you the chosen one bullshit ever again? They should fire him on the spot. Serves only to get himself over as edgy, and it gives his opponent nowhere to go. Mostly, though, no one deserves to have to think about McMahon watching Raw anymore. True that. Look, I know you didn't like the segment with Rollins, Punk, and McIntyre, Andy. I thought it was fantastic.
Segment. Here's the thing, Andy, right? For the longest time, everyone online, everyone on fucking X, everyone's like, why do they script promos? Stop scripting promos. Give them dot points and just let them go. You let them go, and now you're like, he should never have done that. This is bullshit. He shouldn't have said this. He shouldn't have said that. You're going to get that shit. It's entertaining. No one knows what's going to happen. This is where good promo guys work.
Yeah.
Because they work out how to bounce off it. They can't do it. Get the fuck out the door.
And all three of them worked. All three of them had great moments. Drew McIntyre, sitting on the announcer's desk and telling CM Punk to stop looking up his kilt, you perv, was one of the funniest things. I'm still laughing about it because it was genuinely funny. The three of them obviously talked, knew where the line was, knew what they were going to say, and really, really enjoying. I had a great time with this promo. Tim Wilkes says, WWE are moving away from PG, that's for sure. Yeah, you can see they're treading a line. They're treading a line. And I don't think they're crossing it, but they're definitely treading it. And they're probably clearing everything. And really, when they go to Netflix, they're probably going to be a bit more adult anyway. So this is all in preparation for Netflix. You know,
look, it's like, and to your point, Andy, you're like, who called you the chosen one bullshit? That was great. I don't know what you're talking about. That was for somebody who Drew McIntyre's character has been, who has just been calling out stuff left, right, and center. Why wouldn't Punk do that back to him?
Exactly.
How is that different from what McIntyre did? Like,
The only good part was McIntyre saying, "Cut his music. He's not even in the match." No, that was a great line.
That's
but
fine.
I don't think
that's
that was the only good part.
Yeah,
I don't think that's the only good part.
I think you just don't like Punk, is what it is, and it wouldn't really have mattered what he'd said.
I really and I think this started back when you remember about a year ago when Trips was definitely starting to get more power. There was that wonderful thing between Riddle and Seth Rollins.
Yes,
where
the separate interviews things. Different parts of the building.
Much like you and I are, except I'm in Melbourne and you're up in Queensland.
Yes.
But, you know, that moment where he's like, you say that shit about my wife, I'm going to come and fuck you up.
Yeah.
That's where this all started. That was the trigger for this. And the audience went with them. And I think that this was excellent. I think this was great. I really, really like this. Yeah. In fact, this was part of my chicken salad.
Here's the difference is WWE have the casuals. They just have the casuals. What he's doing with the Vince stuff that gets the AEWs, the hardcores to really pay attention and to go, let's face it, Punk didn't say Jim Cornette's name, and Jim Cornette trended because of the words he said in a promo.
I'm fine with it. Look, I'm fine with it. What people have got to realize is you give Punk a microphone and it's still the pipe bomb. Like that didn't finish in 2011.
No, and also the thing is too, Punk came back and everyone's like, oh, he's gone soft.
No, he hasn't.
He's not doing what he did. No, this is what they said when he came back. He's gone soft. He's lost that thing. He starts doing it a bit more. You're like, well, why is he saying that? He should shut up. He shouldn't say that. He should never say that again. You've got to decide what you want someone to do and what you want them to not do, and then stick to that instead of just going, don't do this, but don't do it enough. Don't do it too much.
Yeah. And Punk's reaction when Rollins' music hits, he went, oh, like, not this guy. We're all being worked, and it's great. I love it. Tim Wilkes says, anyone that can play this Raw didn't have a lot of wrestling. It's 2 weeks from Mania. It's the final Raw. They had to get footage for
second last Raw.
Second last Raw. So I had no problems with any of the show. Mate, Their video editors, remember, Tim, their video editors work on a hype package through an entire pay-per-view, and at the end of those 3 or 4 hours, they've got an amazing hype package ready. They are
I understand that you've got the stopwatch people out there. I think that's what they're calling them now. That do the whole, there was this much wrestling on this show, there was this much wrestling on that show, there was this much wrestling in the 3 hours and blah, 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 which is fine. What these people need to understand, and possibly you listening at home or listening in your radios or you're at the gym, or like, pro wrestling isn't just about the wrestling. No. It's not just about what happens in between those ropes. It's a big part of it, 100%. But doing the stuff that they're doing now, the talking, the promos, it's leading up the hype for those matches. It's leading up these confrontations. You watch UFC, you watch all the promos heading into UFC, they never fight because it's UFC. One fight and they're done. So why wouldn't you do stuff like that? I love the fact that it's so much better than it used to be, like with WWE, when like you'd say Roman Reigns was taking on, we'll say for instance, Seth Rollins, and then for the 4 weeks up, Seth and Roman would be in different types of tag matches against each other and different types of things against each other. So they're constantly touching the whole way up to WrestleMania. So when they eventually get one-on-one, you've already seen half of this shit for the last 4 weeks. Right now, we are heading into WrestleMania. We haven't seen Cody and Roman touch since what, last WrestleMania?
Yeah, pretty much.
We haven't seen Seth touch Roman since God knows when. We haven't seen like Rock touch anyone for years until Monday. Building up tension. We're not giving away the, you want to see it, you're going to have to watch WrestleMania.
Becky and Rhea only touched on Monday. They had not touched before then, this time around. I think they did have a tag match years ago, but they had not touched this time around. They did a great job of trying to make Rhea a heel. It didn't quite work, but it got close. I don't think they're going to be able to. I think she's going to be hugely over. In fact, I will say it's going to be a double turn. I would say that Becky is going to leave with Dom and join Judgment Day, because that's an interesting route. Mm. And it doesn't seem like Trips is afraid of going down the interesting route, because Rhea is much better as a loner.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure. Now we've been talking. I have a judgment, chicken shit. So
Judgment Day is an incredible group by themselves. Like in isolation, they're fantastic. So it could go either way. I'm excited about that match.
Because we've been talking about this stuff, and I've been reliving Raw and that in my mind, and this stuff. My chicken shit is I'm afraid they are going to try and turn Gable heel.
Yeah, that's crossed my mind as well.
Because the whole thing about like coaching Sammy, I think he's going to turn on him and try and become a heel. And that's horrible. Don't want that. I don't like that idea at all. I hope it's not true, and I hope this is just me being like overly.
For what it's worth, if you remember when they tried to turn the Street Profits heel, when they originally just lined him up with Bobby Lashley, they tried to make them like heels. They pretty quickly retconned that. And Tim Wilkes has said it, Gable heel won't work right now. You're damn right he won't work right now.
No. But if you want to be heel, don't follow us, right? Don't subscribe to us on Twitch. But if you want to be a babyface, if you want to be Gable as, make sure you subscribe to us. We're on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher. Why do I keep saying Stitcher? Because it's written down, that's why. Spotify, Twitch, anywhere you get your podcast from, follow us there, because you're gonna get these shows. Yes, Jeff, what were you?
I haven't quite finished my chicken salad.
Oh, sorry, mate. I apologize.
You're right.
You wanted me out of here early, so I was trying to wind you up.
I get it. I've got about another 5 or 10. There are a couple of other things I really liked, but ultimately my chicken salad is Chris Basso is Grim Basso against Doug. There you go. That's my chicken salad this week. Yeah, fantastic match. Oh. Well done to both competitors.
Alex Fireheart's in there.
Alex Fireheart says, as far as chicken salad go, the announcement of another altogether pay-per-view in Japan, this time involving an incredible 6 different promotions instead of 3. It's weird that All Japan doesn't seem to be involved, but it's still a big deal. It's a huge deal, and it's very exciting. Andy PWDU says, I think he is Bob Vance from Vance Refrigeration. I think Liv Morgan is the one turning heel and joining Judgment Day. She told Rhea last week that she was coming for everything she loves. That could be a good point, and what an interesting angle. Liv has greatly improved in the ring, and I look forward to seeing that. It was good to see Naomi get a win on SmackDown, get a really competitive match on SmackDown as well.
Like, yeah, because really, it's going to be those two against the Kabuki Warriors, isn't it? Naomi and Bianca.
Yeah, I think they're leaning that way as long as Asuka's fit.
Hmm. Yes, that is a good point. I forgot about that completely.
But it's shaping up to be a fantastic WrestleMania. I think we'll have a proper look at it next week once Lachlan is back. We'll see how that plays out. Yeah. Anything else to discuss before I plug my show again?
Mate, plug away. We'll get out of here so we can like fire up for the long weekend.
Yeah, it's going to be a great look. Have a wonderful long weekend, everybody. If you're at MCW, I will be around. Come and say hello. Really, come and say hi. Don't forget, WrestleBrania tickets are on sale now as part of the Comedy Festival, the Catfish, as part of the Comedy Festival. $35 single session, $85 for a season ticket, which is really, 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 really inexpensive, actually, because the talent you're getting, as I announced tonight, Cracker Jack, in that final show, that's worth like $80 by himself. He's ridiculous. It's going to be so much fun. We cannot wait to bring you these shows. Tickets now from comedyfestival.com.au. Grab them. That's it. This has been Making Chicken Salad for Lachlan and Albert.
Hang on. You've got to do the whole spiel. Do the whole like follow us and all that stuff because you cut me off.
I now cut you off. Can do it. Too.
Now you can do it.
Okay, I'll do it.
You do it. You do it.
Yeah, I'll do it.
You do it.
Don't forget to follow us on all your socials. We are on Facebook, Instagram, Meta, Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it. We're there. You can follow Todd Eastman at The Beast Eastman. Is that right? Yes?
Yes.
Okay.
Or just Beast Eastman. Twitter,
at Beast Eastman on Twitter. You can follow Lachlan Albert at Lachlan Albert. You can follow me, Jeff Setti, at Jeff_Setti. Or my little side project of WrestleBrania at Wrestle_Brania. Don't forget to check us out. We are here on Twitch most weeks, either a Wednesday or a Thursday. We are jumping around a little bit. We're all busy. That happens. Also, if you're going to StarCast, come and say hi. Todd and I are going to be there, which is awesome because I've never met Todd. This is the only way we've ever fucking spoken. You could be
this
like
is when he kid. Finds out I'm only 3 foot tall. Yeah, oh, I can't believe we're on the same page. Holy shit.
That's pretty funny. No, you're about AJ's height, and I've met AJ. Get yourself along to StarCast and come and say hi because we will be around. Look, you guys have been so much fun tonight. We love doing this and we love bringing it to you. Come to WrestleBrania, go to StarCast, go to local wrestling, cheer Delta because you ain't got much longer. For Lachlan Albert.
Also, I'm just going to throw this out there. If you're around on the Easter weekend, I might do a little surprise pop-up show, like a little Sunday showcase or something like that. I'm not too sure. Depends how I go for the weekend, but something like that where we just sit down and watch individual matches of Australian wrestlers and then just watch them and review them sort of thing. So, yeah, just keep your eyes peeled. I did one a couple of weeks ago. Yeah. So... fun little time to do if you just want to sit around and watch wrestling for an afternoon because that's what I want to do. And I thought, bugger, I might as well do it where I can talk to other people while I'm doing it. So, just keep your eyes peeled on the socials. I'll pop up a warning before I do all.
Also, for the other side of my life, if you are at BunnyCon this weekend, the games convention BunnyCon, then I am storytelling Blood on a Clock Tower there a couple of times across the weekend. So come and say hi.
Sounds like a furries convention.
It's really fun.
Sorry.
It's a really fun social deduction game. Well done, Todd. So come and say hi. Look, we're going to end now. We have to. I can't top a fucking joke about a furries convention. But Todd Eastman and Lachlan Albert, I've been Jeff Setti. Take care of yourselves. Enjoy your Easter. We'll see you soon.
Here I was, blaming AEW for feeding you chicken shit, knowing you mindless millennials would be eating it up as if it were chicken salad, when it's really been your fault all along. Make chicken salad.